The Bible says there will be great rewards in the millennium based on work we've done now on earth.
What is the millennium and how does it affect my life now?
This is Bob Boyd.
And Jerry Boyd.
This is Issues in Education. We get excited about programs like today's. It's exhilarating.
Yes, me too. When we leave our bodies on earth and our spirit goes to heaven to be with Jesus and our loved ones, it will be a joyous reunion.
It's going to be great, but it won't be too long before we leave heaven and return with Jesus and all the other believers to come back to this earth in our glorified bodies. I love it. To live 1,000 years in a period called the millennium, to serve the Lord and reign over the people still living on this earth in their earthly bodies after the great tribulation.
Just think of this. Jesus is returning to earth on a beautiful white horse, and we're following him on white horses with resurrected bodies, as he promised. He will end the great tribulation and begin the millennium. This is fascinating. This is the thrill and hope of believers everywhere.
Pastor David Jeremiah, talk about a biblical name, founder of Turning Point Radio and TV Ministries and senior pastor of the megachurch called Shadow Mountain Community Church in El Cajon, California, is the author of The World of the End, How Jesus' Prophecies Shapes Our Priorities.
When Jesus comes back at the end of the tribulation period, just before this millennial time, we who were raptured, we're going to come back with him. We're going to come back to this earth, and we're going to reign upon this earth with his righteousness. And in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 4, we read, "And they reigned with him for 1,000 years. Who are they? The Christians, the saints who come back with him. There has to be a millennium so that we can live out our rewards during this 1,000-year period of time. In the parable of the talents, Jesus taught that our role as servants and rulers will be based upon our faithfulness. Matthew 25:23, the Lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord." In the millennium, we will be ruling the earth with Jesus as our king. We will have sharper minds, stronger bodies, clearer purpose, greater abilities and resources and wisdom and empowerment and unabated joy. And we will serve the Lord for 1,000 years on this earth as it is. Can you imagine a reign of righteousness with all godly people in every single position, having not had to be elected there, but appointed there by King Jesus? Whoa, would that be something? Just imagine it. So in order for there to be a time for those rewards to be realized, there has to be a millennial period. Why does there need to be an earthly kingdom? Because Christ will come back and triumph on the very earth where he was seemingly defeated by his enemy. He will come back to the very earth where he was rejected, and this time there will be no rejection, and he will be the king everyone had hoped he would come to be when he came the first time. When the disciples prayed that the kingdom would come, they were looking forward to this very time called the millennium.
This is such an encouraging message. Imagine living and serving with Jesus on this renewed earth with sharper minds, stronger bodies, greater abilities and resources. We'll be in a glorified body like Jesus has. And the rewards we made on earth, we will have those rewards in the millennium.
Satan and sin have wreaked such havoc on this war-torn earth. Imagine living without Satan and his demons who have been chained in hell for this 1,000-year millennium. Woo! No more devil for 1,000 years. Hallelujah.
The Bible says that at the end of this 1,000-year period of time, when Jesus is running the whole world, and Satan, he's bound for 1,000 years. He's incapacitated. But at the end of the millennium, he's going to be released, and there will be one final rebellion. You say, well, where is the ungodliness going to come from? Well, only godly people will go into the millennium, but guess what? They're going to have kids. So the kids born to the righteous people in the millennium, and some of them will become unrighteous. And at the end of the millennial period, in spite of all that has happened during the reign of Christ on this earth, at the end of the millennial period, there will be a final rebellion against God. Anybody ever tell you that the problem we have in our world is our environment? If we could just educate everybody and change the environment, everybody would be better? Well, I want to tell you something. God put two people in a perfect garden, and they rebelled. And at the end of the world, he's going to run a world for 1,000 years in peace and righteousness. And at the end, there'll be a rebellion there. Why? Because the heart of man is evil. And it's not a problem of our environment, it's a problem of our nature that we inherited from Adam. And the Lord's going to say, I gave you 1,000 years of perfect peace and righteousness, and you still rebelled.
That's really good, because the humanists say mankind is basically good and just needs more education to learn how to be good. But people living in the world that's ruled by Jesus with perfect peace and righteousness, yet at the end of the millennium, many of these people will rebel and join Satan, who will be unleashed from hell to go into a last great war against Jesus and his kingdom of righteousness. And this shows that even in a perfect world, the heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked.
And this is the reason a person needs to be born again. You get a new heart. God is only going to have people that are born again to spend eternity with. That's a new heart, new spirit. What will it be like living in the millennium?
It'll be a time of great peace and prosperity and long life. The millennium will be an exhilarating time of happiness, joy, and prosperity.
What will it be like on this earth if all sin were removed? If all rebellion were removed? First of all, it'll be a time of great peace. All man-made implements of mechanized warfare will be eliminated. Micah 4:2-3. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Isaiah 11:6-9. The wolf will also dwell with the lamb. This peace even extends to the animal kingdom. And the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The lion will eat straw like an ox. The nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole. And then it'll be a time of prosperity. Isaiah 35, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as a rose. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. The millennium will be a time of peace, a time of unbelievable prosperity. Now, here's one I like. It's going to be a time of prolonged life. People are going to live longer. Before the flood, people used to live to be really old. But when you get to the flood in Genesis chapter 6, something happens. 900 doesn't happen anymore. It starts going down and down and down until you get to 130 was old as it would be today. The flood changed the nature of the earth, so that the canopy that protected us from the ultraviolet rays was contaminated, and so our ability to live long on the earth was destroyed. But in the millennium, everything that happened before the flood in terms of the longevity of humanity will return. Isaiah 65:20. No more shall an infant live but a few days, for the child shall die 100 years old, and people will live to be 700-800 years. Some of them will live a great portion of the millennial period under the reign of Christ. Prolonged life. And finally, it will be a time of personal joy. The millennium will be an exhilarating era of happiness and contentment and joy. Isaiah 30:29, you shall have a song, and in the night when a holy festival is kept, and gladness of heart as when one goes with a flute to come into the mountain of the Lord, to the mighty one of Israel. The millennium will be an exhilarating era of happiness and contentment and joy.
David Jeremiah has given us a brief preview of our lives during the millennium in our glorified bodies. I love it.
You know, I just think of all the joy. Will we have bodies like we have now, with eyes and ears, flesh, bones, arms, legs, hair? And will we eat and drink and know each other, or will we be disembodied spirits?
Randy Alcorn is an expert on heaven, with 60 books written and translated in 70 languages, selling over 12 million copies. Randy Alcorn is the founder and director of Eternal Perspectives Ministries, and most of his books are related to the biblical scriptures on heaven. What will our resurrected bodies be like?
Our resurrected bodies, we're told, will be like Christ. We'll be like him, for we'll see him as he is. His resurrection body is the prototype that shows what our resurrection bodies will be like. So, what was his resurrection body like? Well, we know. He ate and drank with the disciples. He walked around with them. He said, here, touch me. Here's my body. He says to them, a spirit does not have flesh and bones as I have. So, a resurrection body has flesh and bones. It can be touched, it can be felt, it can feel, it has sensations. He sees, they see him, it's visible, he eats food. Did he taste the food when he ate? I'm sure he did. We've never known taste buds that are as they were first created. In the resurrection body, not only will we have available to us the greatest food we've ever eaten, but we'll have the capacity capacity to find joy in that food that greater be anything we've ever experienced. In fact, your favorite food is very likely one you've never tasted yet. So we'll taste it, we'll find new flavors, things that we didn't used to like, maybe we'll love, things that we liked. We'll think, wow, I can't believe this will be so good. Well, that's the resurrected body. Now notice, when Jesus ate food with his disciples, it wasn't that he was a spirit drifting around. See, some people think resurrection, they think we're like a disembodied spirit. No, that's exactly what resurrection isn't. There was a poll that was taken of Americans who believed in the resurrection, and it was a large percentage, seems like it was 70% of those who believed in a resurrection believed we won't have bodies. Resurrection means we will have bodies. That's what the word means. That's the whole point of the word. It's a contradiction in terms to say that there would be a bodiless resurrection. It would be like saying I'm going to whitewash this wall red. No, if you're going to whitewash it, it won't be red. It'll be white. Resurrection, it means a body. Okay, so that doctrine of the resurrection that is repeatedly taught in Scripture is a doctrine that means we will live forever as physical beings. We will have hands and eyes, ears and mouth and nose, as Jesus did in his resurrected body. So the resurrected body of Christ, some people sometimes point out, yeah, but he had some special powers. He appeared in a room where the doors were locked. But when he appeared, he said, touch me, handle me. A spirit doesn't have flesh and bones as I have. So maybe it'll be more like beaming in, but once you're there as a physical person. People are still physical people, they just have an ability to travel. So just because they have an ability to travel somewhere doesn't mean, oh, they're disembodied spirits, they're not human beings, they don't have bodies. Well, of course they have bodies. Jesus had a body, his resurrection body. In fact, we're told that in that same body, Jesus rose from the grave, he ascended, he went to the right hand of God, and we were told, the angel said, this same Jesus, this very same one you just saw, this physical Jesus, will come back again. And when he comes back, he's going to set up his kingdom, and there's the 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ on earth, and that's the teaching of Scripture, that we're going to live forever on a new earth, a redeemed earth.
Randy Alcorn gives us great hope using scriptures to show us this life is not the end. Jesus said, let not your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. Jesus is the way to our eternal bodies through faith in him.
That is great news. So you don't need to worry over your life, but look forward to your brand new body that'll never grow old and you'll be youthful forever.
Amir Safady is a Messianic Jew born in Jerusalem and founder of Behold Israel. Amir Safady is author of Revealing Revelation, How God's Plan for the Future Can Change Your Life Now.
Listen to what we will see in the millennium on this renewed earth as written in Isaiah 11 and 65.
In the millennial kingdom, if you read Isaiah, both in chapter 11 and both in chapter 65, the land of Israel will no longer be a place of desolation. But then it says that the animal kingdom will be restored to its original perfection. Poisonous animals will cease to be poisonous. Meat-eating animals will become herbivorous. Lions will be vegetarian. All members of the animal kingdom will live together in perfect peace with each other and with mankind. This is the time that Satan is not even here to deceive anyone. Remember, he's locked up right there in that bottomless pit for 1,000 years, and mankind can no longer say there is a satanic influence in this world. In Revelation 3:21, Jesus says about the believer who conquers, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne. In some sense, Christians will share authority with Christ as far as rulers. In the parable of the 10 minions, the Bible says that individuals will be given more or less authority in the kingdom according to how they handle the responsibilities God has given them now in this age. This is why it's so important to study about the millennial kingdom today. Jesus is the King of Kings. In power, in glory, in righteousness, and in every other way. And the government will be on his shoulders, Isaiah 9:6. That's the child that unto us is given. The Old and the New Testament reveal that the future king during the millennium and all eternity is Jesus Christ and him alone. Jesus will return to this earth to reign from Jerusalem. And in that day, his feet shall stand on Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall be split in two from east to west, making a large valley. Half of the mountain shall move towards the north and the other towards the south. The Lord my God will come and all the saints with you. Jesus will return to Jerusalem and he will return with all of us. I always tell people, in the second coming of Jesus, you better not see his face, but see his back. Because he will come and consume his enemies with the breath of his mouth. But if you are behind him, riding the horse coming all the way down from heaven, you are with him. When I return, he leads and I'm riding the horse behind him. You don't want to see his face, you want to see his back during that time. Is there any indication, by the way, of Israel's salvation during the millennial kingdom? Of course, Zechariah 12:10 says, "And I will pour on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication, and then they will look on me whom they have pierced." When Jesus returns, Israel will be the ones that says, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Hosea 5 says, "In their affliction they will earnestly seek my face." And that is after the tribulation that is meant for their salvation. They will earnestly seek him. They will mourn for him as one mourns for his only son. They will understand that for the last 2,000 years they were wrong. He is our Messiah. It's the one whom we pierced. It's the one whom we condemned. He is the deliverer. He's the King of kings, the Lord of lords. I wish we would have believed in him and we would have been spared from this whole tribulation. The Jewish people will repent of the rejection of the Messiah and they will enter into a new covenant with God that the Jewish people were promised. The streets of Jerusalem will be filled with a voice of joy and the voice of gladness. When Jesus comes back, he will judge the sheep and the goats, remember. And he will allow the sheep to enter into the kingdom, the 1,000 years kingdom. And they will multiply. They still have their earthly bodies. We will have our glorified bodies, but the people on earth, when we come back, they're still having their earthly bodies. You see, you can eat as many donuts as you want. They can't. That enough is a reason to believe.
Imagine deserts blooming with roses, lions eating vegetables. We will rule over those still living in their earthly bodies, but we will have glorified bodies that'll never get sick or die.
Or get tired, full of energy.
That's right. Clear minds, clear thinking. And we can eat all the desserts and donuts we want.
Cupcakes, tiramisu, and tres leches.
But those that are going to be left here when we come back are still on earth, they will repopulate the earth. After all the great tribulation, earth will be repopulated. So can you imagine reigning 1,000 years and you're going to see so many people born and dead and born and dead? At the end of the millennial, you're going to say, "Hey, I know your great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather. He was nicer than you." The people who survived the tribulation and their descendants are the people we're going to reign over. Zechariah 14 says, "It shall come to pass that everyone who is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of Lords, in Jerusalem." Remember, Jesus said about the first coming, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Jesus came the first time to save the world. But the second coming in Acts 17, he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the men whom he has ordained. The truth has been preached in his first coming and will be displayed in his second coming. Yet what? The nations will still be ignorant. Okay, you can tell me that you did not believe when Jesus first came. Well, you know, he was poor, riding a donkey, died like a thief on a cross. This whole thing doesn't resonate with what you think a king is going to be. So maybe you missed him in his first coming. But you want to tell me that after 1,000 years, when he comes riding a horse, destroying his enemies with the breath of his mouth, that he's establishing a godly kingdom on earth, there is no Satan around, he's bound for 1,000 years. You would think that everyone will believe, wouldn't you? And you cannot say, Satan made me do that. Satan is not even there. He's locked down for 1,000 years. He's gone. Stop blaming him for everything. Although Jesus spoke about his second coming, why is it so hard for people to believe it? People don't believe in a physical return of Jesus. Because Jesus will come riding a horse. It's a political leadership that he's about to take. Oh, I prefer him riding the donkey. Your choice. He's coming back on a horse, I'm sorry. Jesus will come as a man of war that will consume his enemies. People have a hard time with that one. They don't want to see a political figure. They don't want to see someone who is coming to fight his enemies. Jesus will come no longer to save the world. That's his first coming. But to what? Judge the world. The first coming is to save the world. You have a chance right now. But I have news for you. He said that the second coming is not to save, but to judge. Why is it so important for us today to study the events of such a far future, such as the millennial kingdom? It's important because your decision today will affect your place and your role in the future. If you choose him now, you reign with him in the future. You deny him now, he will deny you before the Father. It's very simple. That's why it's in the Bible. Why do you think John had that revelation if it's not that important for you today? Why do you think all the Old Testament prophets had that revelation if it's not that important? There are no promotions in the millennial kingdom. Either you reign or you're being reigned by someone. You're not promoted. If you want to be promoted to governor or to be a priest, now your decision will make you priest and will make you judge and will make you a king and ruler in the future. But not then. Follow Jesus today and you will reign with him tomorrow. Reject Jesus today and you may not even see tomorrow. 2 Timothy 2:11 and 12. For if we died with him, we shall also live with him. We shall also reign with him. Revelation 20 verses 7 to 10. Look what I found. Now when the 1,000 years have expired, Satan will be released from his prison. Remember, he's there for 1,000 years. And remember, the Bible says that he must be released for a short while. Satan will be released from his prison. And what? He will go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth. Whoa. Satan will gather them together to battle. Whose number is at the sand of the sea? And surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city. And the beloved city, Jerusalem, will be attacked from the four corners of the world by people who, once Satan is released, will choose him. After 1,000 years that Jesus physically reigns on earth, guess who they choose? Satan. And they went up and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophets are. And they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. The Lord Jesus will judge the world in righteousness because the world is going to be so evil. And the millennial kingdom is God telling all of us, I'm giving you 1,000 years. Satan is not in the neighborhood. I am reigning over all the earth. And guess what? You're still going to choose Satan. So when I judge you at the end, it is in righteousness. This is why there is an urgency in 2 Corinthians 6. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Not then. And I beg all of you, choose Jesus, choose life, and reign with him, and rule with him, and live with him forever and ever in the new Jerusalem. Amen.
Our guest has been Amir Sarfati, author of Revealing Revelation. It's an excellent book. He's been telling us that the people who survive the Great Tribulation are those that we and Jesus will rule over.
Jesus told us about his second coming. Jesus will come back as the ruler over the world. Remember, the kingdoms of our Lord shall become the kingdoms of our Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever.
Reject Jesus now, and you'll spend forever in hell, suffering forever. That's unimaginable. There is only one way to a glorious future, and it's faith in Jesus Christ.
If you would like a CD copy of today's inspirational teaching program, please ask for number 1824, The Millennium, Part 1. That's number 1824, The Millennium, Part 1. The CD also includes next week's program, Part 2. And you can order a CD copy of this program from our website. Our website is issuesineducation.org. That's issuesineducation.org. Or give us a call at 928-776-0000. That's 928-776-0000. From Isaiah 51, verse 3. And the Lord will make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving and the sound of singing. For Issues in Education, this has been Bob and Jerry Boyd.